I'm checking, Chris says I'm checking everyone to see if they have a handout. So if you don't have a handout, they are back there. Slightly different spot this week. All right, good morning, everyone. Let's go ahead and let's start our time with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you, as always, for a new morning. Lord, we know that we do not deserve a new morning on our own merit or account, Lord. And we thank you for another day to live, another day that we ask that you would help us to live as Christ, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would give us, we ask that you would give us humility this morning. Would you help us to hear the things that you have a point for us to hear this morning from our video teaching, and as we discuss things with one another, Lord, just please give us humble hearts. Help us to be open to correction, Lord. Help us also to see the hope that is in this material, and see just the joy of what you are doing with community, and as you restore us to yourself, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this morning we're going to drill a little bit more into community. He'll give you kind of a recap in the video of where we've been and kind of where he's heading, so I won't replicate that here. But for our opening discussion to pump the prime, from your own experience, why do you think our everyday relationships can be hard? Kind of maybe an easy question, but a hard question. Yeah, from your own experience, why do you think our everyday relationships can be hard? Because everybody's sinners. Yes. There's always conflict. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. The sin's going to come to the surface more with those that we're close to and spend a lot of time with and are just more comfortable with. Yeah, I think he'll have some things to say about that too. Go ahead, Roger. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, expectations, setting those properly is challenging. It can be tempting to think that we deserve certain things, that whole mentality of I deserve this. That can get us in a lot of trouble. We tend to not think about that correctly at times. Any other thoughts on why our everyday relationships can be hard? Yeah. Yeah, so if maybe someone's putting too high of an expectation on me, how do I respond to that with patience and humility? Yeah, that's a great point. So what is your understanding of humility, and how does it begin? Yeah, definitely. I think it depends maybe on where the esteem is coming from. Is the esteem what God has done for you in Christ, or is it, well, I want to think highly of my own self for my own self's sake, perhaps? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So knowing our strengths and weaknesses, and you know, we could probably have maybe a little bit different than what you're saying, or maybe the same, but you know, we can get this false humility where we think we can't do anything. It's because we're not considering the Lord's resources for us, as Paul Tripp has talked about, and I think that would be another sense of false humility there. Let's go ahead and let's read our text. So we'll take a moment. We'll read our text so we can just spend a moment to focus on that before the video comes. I think that's a helpful practice, and then we'll watch our video. So it's Ephesians 4, as you can see on your sheet there. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. All right, if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:15, our first question will key off of that. And we'll cover our key points before that as well. All right, so he goes to work there. The last 10 minutes of that video, he goes to work, and I think lovingly shows us how ridiculous it is to try and make ourselves the center of everything, but yet that's where we find ourselves. And I think the encouragement, both the encouragement and the challenge, is how do we together embrace community, and how do we live out the gospel in doing that? So as he said at the beginning, I think the hope is that If we're stuck on that, it's all about me, we're never going to be happy, and we're never going to know community. So there is a great hope and a great freedom when we are able to check ourselves, step off of the throne, and let Christ have his proper place there. So our key points. The first one there, the DNA of sin is selfishness, and therefore makes relationships hard for us. So the way sin is makes relationships hard for us. And the gospel restores vertical community with God, which in turn restores horizontal community with others. So when we're restored to a right relationship with God, then we have the capacity to be able to know and experience that love, and then to be able to love our brothers and our sisters, and thereby have a fruit and a demonstration that we do love God. And then our second key point, humility begins when God is in the center of our lives and not us. Without humility, we will never be happy and we will never know community. So I'm going to go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians, verse 5. And I'll read our discussion question, then we'll read a few verses here. So our question is, if we are honest, our relationships can be hard because we feel our lives are too important to be around messy or needy people. So our relationships can be hard because we feel our lives are too important, too busy to be around messy or needy people. How does the practical application of 2 Corinthians 5:15 empower us to love and serve others? So looking at 2 Corinthians, we'll start in 14 and read a few verses here. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So Paul Tripp is kind of centering in on verse 15. It says that Christ died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So what's the practical application of that verse in terms of how it empowers us to love and to serve others? What is the truth that verse speaks to us? Go ahead, Roger. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's hitting it all right there is that Christ died for us for a purpose. And there's a purpose in that, and that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for him for our sake died and was raised. So if we think about that, What does that mean? What does that mean for kind of my agenda? How does that change my agenda? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good opportunity to examine ourselves. And yeah, I think this lesson is a, you know, a great opportunity to examine ourselves as well. Yeah, so he's given us a purpose, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. I think I was reading something where I think there's like a proverb or a saying that God strikes straight blows through crooked sticks. So God is kind to use us who are broken in the lives of others, whether it's this, you know, declaring the gospel to them or encouraging believers in the gospel. He uses us who are broken. By grace, he uses us to speak his truths and to speak what he needs to speak, and he does that clearly, and he cuts a straight path even despite our weakness and that. So I think we have, you know, we have died to ourselves. We're not our own, and that can be tough to hear. But I think when he discusses it, and as we really think about it, it is like when we are living for ourselves, that is really weird. And so I think when we take, you know, 10 minutes and talk about humility and patience there at the end and talk about the ways that manifests itself in our life, I think we see that's something that we want to be free of. That's not something that's healthy. It's not honoring to the Lord. And we see that Christ died that we wouldn't be enslaved to that. He died that we would have new life and have the power and ability in him to be able to love one another and to be able to serve one another. And yeah, I think it gets back to, you know, it is an opportunity to examine ourselves and to think about our schedules. You know, schedules, I think for Americans, you know, schedules are pretty important. You know, does my schedule reflect the importance of community? Does it reflect that the gospel is this the main story that I'm a part of, or does it kind of seem like I got my own little story that I'm living out here, and that's causing me to be ineffective and unfruitful in ways? Yeah. Yeah, and I think it would be helpful to just set apart a little time and try and think through some examples that would apply to you. They maybe pop in your head, just as we watch the video and as he's kind of given us these examples. But I think it would be good to kind of personalize some examples, and as Roger said, to take those to the Lord and ask for him to free us from those things and to ask for him to empower us to live differently in those things. I think that would be a practical exercise. Thank you. Yeah. So what is it? Maybe what does it look like to restore that person to the Lord, if you unpack that a little bit more? Yeah. 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 So there's, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like the vacation example, vacation can be a good desire, but that desire has become an ultimate thing. And so for a spouse, whether it's the wife or the husband, for the spouse to come alongside and say, hey, we can't do that right now. There seems to be a desire that's taken too much precedence. How can we maybe point you back to the Lord, and how can we work through that? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, good to think through in our discussions and our conflicts. How can we winsomely restore each other to the Lord, and just kind of point things out well. Yeah, I think that's some good examples there. All right, so our second question. Relationships and community will only be easy when we live out of the provision and hope of the gospel, rather than trying to live up to the gospel. What is your understanding of living out of the gospel as opposed to living up to the gospel? So on this question, you're just kind of combating the fact that, people can say, hey, you have a worthy gospel. You need to live up to that. You need to walk and fulfill that. And I think he says earlier in the video that Ephesians 1-3 is like the kind of the foundation from which he is making these applications into our lives. So, in Ephesians 1, God chose us before the foundation of the world. It is by grace that we have been saved, not by works. Even Ephesians 3, if you look, in verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. So we see that it's according to the power at work within us. So I think there's just a lot of a gospel truth there. So then to just kind of slide into chapter 4 and then think, okay, this is me. I'm doing this. I'm going to live up to this. We've missed the boat there. So if we can answer the question, then what is our understanding of living out of the gospel as opposed to living up to the gospel? Go ahead. I think you hit that one well. What about living out the gospel? That makes a lot of sense. And I think, living out of the gospel, it's a recognition that the work has already been done. Christ did the work. He's the only one that could do the work. I could never do the work. I think we all know that I could never do the work of justifying myself. Christ is the only one that is able to do that work. So then when we're living out of the gospel, it's a recognition of what the Lord has done. It's a recognition of the new identity that I've been giving. I think, Roger, you talked about stepping out in faith in that new identity. The Lord has changed me. I know who I am in my sin nature, and I have a struggle with that, but I know my other identity. I know that He has made me new, allows me to walk in newness of life, so I can say, on my own, I can't do this, but I know I have a new identity. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to seek Him to empower me. I'm going to pray that He would help me to walk by the Spirit. And it's just, it's just moving that direction and seeking the Lord's help and acknowledging that He is the one doing the work in us. That can have, have different connotations there. And I think, if you take, we talked about taking a moment to kind of make those examples practical, to think through, where am I putting myself at the center? I think, going through that exercise, and you can identify some of those, and then seeking the Lord. How, Lord, help me to live out the gospel in this. Help, I'm seeing a lack of humility in this, seeking the Lord in it and asking for Him to produce humility in us. I think that could be a helpful, helpful exercise to just think through, how can I live out the gospel in this? When I'm seeing my lack, how can I come to the Lord for the resources he has given me to produce the life that he wants to see in me? So just to kind of take that, to take that exercise a step further. All right, how does the gospel restore humility to our lives, our relationships, and our community? Just acknowledging that God is at the center. You know, that's obvious, but as a human being with a sin nature, that's, you know, we have to, that takes a humbling to do that, yeah. Yeah, and I think we'll hit on some of those things over the next few weeks, where if we're operating out of that place, we can do damage to others and community. I think, yeah, putting, you know, when we humble ourselves, realize that God is at the center, you know, we're putting Christ at the center. And if you look at that Philippians 2 passage, as you look through that passage, it's definitely hitting the humility of Christ as he came to earth, humbled himself by coming, took on flesh, paid the penalty for our sin, even death on a cross. And so we're putting God at the center, and even God shows us the humility of himself in Christ, that he was willing to do that for us. So I think we have a wonderful example of humility in Christ, and Christ is at the center. And we're just saying, Lord, you're at the center. It's not about me. Lord, I love Christ. Please empower me to be like Christ, that humility would be representative of my relationship with you, Lord, and that humility would allow me to then consider others as better than myself, to consider that, hey, someone comes and they need help and I have a plan, but you know what? My main plan is that it's not about me. It's not about my agenda. It's about the community that the Lord has called me to, about the gospel story that he is working out in our lives, and about his purposes to have a new creation and a new community that loves him and demonstrates to the world his love and a witness to him. So, any other thoughts on how the gospel restores humility to our lives? Yeah, no, that parable is just an excellent thing for us to think about, our debt to the Lord and how much that should humble us as we think about that. And as that truth is seared in our hearts, then that does help us to walk humbly with others, to forgive others. So yeah, I think that's a good way to end for today. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for Ephesians, and just to see that one of the first things that is on your mind when you think about our lives is how it relates to our community with one another, our humility and our patience with one another, Lord. And we ask that you would produce these things in Cornerstone, Lord, that you would help us to continue to grow as a people that live out of the gospel, as a people that move off of the throne and just realize that our lives are about you and they're not about us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.